Hey, this is Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching. All right, Hebrews 11 chapter, verse number 1, and then we're going to look at verse number 6. So I'm only going to take two verses. Hebrews 11, 1, and then verse 6. Reading from the New International Version. Here we go. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now I know the traditional King James. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. That's the King James Version. But I want to make sure it's just a little bit more practical and help us gain better understanding of what we're going to be talking about. NIV again. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for. If you're taking notes, underline confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Underline assurance. Now go to verse number 6. Go to verse number 6. Verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and through your empowerment, thank you for just having a great time of learning about your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We're going to start a new teaching series entitled Faith 101, Understanding Faith. Faith 101, and simply Understanding Faith. And I'm going to give you a theme so you can know where I'm coming from with this message, and then we're going to begin to slowly peel it back and unpack it. So here's your theme. Our walk with God is based on a spiritual foundation. Our walk with God is based on a spiritual foundation. Therefore, everything God has promised and purpose for our lives happens outside the realm of our control and comprehension. Because my walk with God is based, it is built on a spiritual foundation, not natural, not cultural, not temporal, but on a spiritual foundation, then everything God has promised and purposed for me happens outside the realm of my control and my comprehension. It is manifested, it is realized beyond my human ability or natural ability. Therefore, I must engage with God and I must experience God in a way that removes all dependability on my ability, my ingenuity, my creativity, or my opportunity to say, I did this. I must relate to God on the conviction of his faithfulness and of his goodness. I know I hit you with a lot. That's the beauty of you being able to go into discoverlifega.org and being able to listen to this broadcast over again and even find my notes. And you can use those notes. Now, I'm going to really try to take my time, so y'all pray with me in regards to this. So, I recently had a speaking engagement up in Pittsburgh with Bishop Joseph Garland. You guys know that we're part of Reconciliation Ministries International, which is led by Bishop Joseph Garland, Covenant Church of Pittsburgh, and just a mighty man of God in the body of Christ. Just a mighty man, really a general. A pastors, leaders, you name it, across all spectrums of life and across many generations. And so I was speaking at his annual presence conference. And during that time of speaking at the presence conference, we had a moment where I was speaking to one of the other pastors who are in the part of the fellowship. And his name is Pastor Eric Butler. He also flows prophetically, because you know our ministry believes in prophecy and prophetic ministry. The utterance, divine influence of God to give us information that we do not know either about our current circumstance or about a future circumstance. And so he had told me when I was speaking on that Friday, when he saw me in the back of the sanctuary preparing for my time to speak, he was like, I really just feel like God wants me to pray, you know, for you. At first, I thought he was talking about, you know, before I take the stage. And so I was like, okay, no problem. He's like, so just let me know before you leave to go back to Atlanta, you know, so I can pray for you and pray with you. And so in doing so, I spoke Friday afternoon, and then Friday night we had another service. And so I'm getting ready to leave, and he and I are actually sitting on almost the same row. And so I say, all right, Pastor Eric, I'm out. And so he says, okay, let's pray. Now, people, you know, the benediction is given. We're in the sanctuary, so it's a lot of noise. So I pull out my phone to record because I know he flows prophetically. And so he begins to prophesy, and here is the heart of what he says to me, not only just to me, but to the DLC body. So he says that God has seen our faithfulness. This is God speaking through Pastor Eric Brother. God has seen our faithfulness, and then through a series of unusual miracles, God is going to bring us into our own building sooner than later. God is going to bring us into our building through a series of unusual miracles, and it's going to happen sooner than later. And this building will be phase one. Now, keep walking forward by faith. Keep walking forward by faith. And then he looks at me all the more and then says, teach the people faith. Teach the people faith. Preach faith. Demonstrate faith. Teach the people faith. And so when I heard that, of course, you know, it's recorded, and I wish there was a way to make sure everybody can have it. Maybe we could try to get it transcribed and send it all out, send it to everybody, because again, it was right after service, so there are people you know, going around us, beside us, and just noise. But as a believer, we live by the promises of God, and a prophecy is a promise from God. And so you can tell by that prophecy, by that promise from God, that I have been clearly and cleanly directed and instructed to begin to teach us on the issue of faith. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to heed God's promise and prophecy to us, because in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God gives us something that's very significant. And I know this is why I'm just going to talk with you and flow with you guys. So stay with me. I haven't even gotten into the text yet, but I really want to set it up. This is why in 2 Chronicles 20:20, you can really read that story of Jehoshaphat. It's a good framework about understanding faith, the prophetic ministry, and everything that God talks about. Our obedience and our partnership with a prophetic word individually or to a nation is what's going to ensure that we see victory, prosperity, and breakthrough. So I am going, as the under-shepherd in Discover Life Church, I am going to heed that promise and that prophecy from God and begin to direct us down this journey of faith and this journey to the fulfillment of what God has promised. And so we're going to begin to now teach on faith, unlock it, unpack it, stir it, and do all the different things, turn it like a Rubik's Cube. And so I'm going to ask that you will stay with me with this journey on faith. So as I've been directed to teach on faith, let's be very clear. You know, our country says on much of its currency, in God we trust. And then there are a lot of things in our church and in and outside of our church that many of us, we can say, man, somebody used the issue of that was because I had faith in God. And so it can be very confusing about what is faith, what is not faith. And so even though we have Hebrews 11:1 to tell us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, and then we read it in the New International Version, there is not just one universal definition that you go to every church and every pastor and every teacher and they're going to tell you this is faith. I know we use Hebrews 11:1, but what's a very practical, you know, outworking definition, description of faith that allows me to engraft it in my daily life? Well, before we jump there, let's start with this. Let's say what faith is not before we get to what faith is, okay? Now, go ahead. You know how I am. I want to see your comments. I want to see your emojis. I want to see your feedback. I want to hear your impressions. Let's encourage each other through our comment line as we take this journey of faith together. The first thing, and this is not even the first point, but our first appetizer that we want to lay at the groundwork is this right here, that faith is not, hear me, faith is not my assumptions or presumptions about God. I won't start there. Faith is not my assumptions or my presumptions about God. Why do you say that, Pastor Roy, to get us started? Because oftentimes, when you and I want to understand faith, we start with ourselves. We start with what we think. We start with what we feel. We start with what we believe. And I understand how we use that language, but that's not where you start if you're going to understand faith. You and I start with the promises of God. Because what I think, what I feel, and what I want often speaks to my soul. And my soul is what God is saving. So if God has to save my soul, then God is telling me that the soul is not perfect, the soul is not whole, the soul has to be reconverted by his authority and his influence. So if I start with something that is defective, then I'm going to end with something that's dysfunctional. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If I start with something that's defective, then I'm going to end with something that is dysfunctional. So even when it comes to understanding faith, we don't start with ourselves. Faith does not originate from a place of self-confidence or self-dependence or self-reliability or self-righteousness. That's foolishness. Foolishness is you and I thinking we know better. We know what's best for us outside the scope of full reliance and full devotion and full dependence on God. That's foolishness. When you and I elevate our self-righteousness, our self-reliance, our self-dependence above who God is and what God has said, we start with ourselves. That's not faith. Faith doesn't originate in us. Faith originates in God, with God, based upon the promises of God. That is foolishness. Anything and everything that originates where we are being influenced more and we're being influenced by ourselves, it is not going to be faith. It is not. And oftentimes the reason we have presumptions and assumptions and foolishness happens in our lives is because we're mainly or mostly driven by our pride or fear. Pride or fear. Pride or fear. Both of them, either one of them, really becomes an issue of I know what's best. My pride or my fear. I know what's best. I can handle this. I got this. It starts with us. And that becomes foolishness. Now, so understanding that faith isn't foolishness, then Pastor Roden, help us to understand what faith is. I'm glad you said that. So if faith is not foolishness originating with me, starting with me, then faith originates and starts with God, his promises, his word, and his truth. So now what I can start looking at is that faith then becomes my devotion. It is my devotion and my conviction, living by confidence, assurance, and a dependence on who God is. It's a confidence, it's an assurance, it's a conviction, it's a dependence, it's an obedience to me living by who God says he is and what he says he can do. Now, here's what I want to tag on to this so you don't just stop right there, because somebody can say, well, I got that and I do that. It's a confidence, an obedience, an assurance, a dependence to who God is and who God says he is. But watch this. As rightly interpreting and applying scriptures. See, that's the key. As rightly interpreting and applying scripture. Because I can say all those things. I'm confident about God. I'm dependent upon God. I'm obedient to God. But if I don't understand God's word in right interpretation and application, then it's not faith. It becomes foolishness. Because I am trying to get God's word to work for me in a way that God says his word was never designed, never intended to work. And then I get frustrated because I don't see the results. And then I'm thinking that faith doesn't work. And God says, yeah, faith works, but foolishness doesn't. And that's why I want to make sure you're very clear, and I'm very clear when it comes to understanding faith, that our faith has to be rooted and has to arise from, and it starts from, you and I rightly interpreting and applying the promises of God in the Word of God. And when we do that, here's what we start understanding about faith. That faith now is the dismantling of the illusion, that we are in control and command of our lives. Ooh. Now I'm teaching better than the way y'all responding online. So now faith becomes this dismantling of the illusion of the image, of the mirage, of the facade, that I'm in command and control of my lives. I'm paraphrasing that statement right there by my good friend, Pastor Troy Good, because that's the essence of understanding faith, that God starts dismantling brick by brick, layer by layer, this illusion that I'm in control, that I got this. And what is he doing? He's peeling me back from self-righteousness, self-dependence, a self-reliance. And with each brick that he removes, he's making me more dependent upon him, more reliant on him, more obedient to him. And so faith begins to dismantle this illusion, this wall, this protective life that I've built up to try to insure myself against troubles, against trials, against hurt, against betrayal, against failure. I'm not saying God is for those things. I'm saying we build them up based upon us, our sense of command, our sense of needing to be in control. And God says, nope, I'm going to take those bricks down so that you can learn that faith means you are fully and freely devoted to me, utterly reliant on me to be your protector, me be your guide, me be your defender. So this is how we begin to understand faith. It is not my presumptions. It's not my preferences. It's this dismantling of the illusion that I'm in command and control of my life. So faith isn't me going to God with premeditated decisions and directions and then accessorizing my life with just some Christian lingo. I prayed and I just kind of told God what I'm going to do, and I'm just trying to accessorize my life with what God said, and this is my season, and all the various Christian stuff. I said, no. We start with God. Understanding faith emerges from the revelation. You may want to write this down. Understanding faith emerges from the revelation that we're talking about freely and fully giving up control and command of our lives to God and for God. You see that? Giving up control and command of our lives to God and for God. So it's hard for me to say that I'm living by faith, walking by faith, if I am not giving up command and giving up control on a daily basis. That's an oxymoron. The more faith I have, the more I've given up control and command. Woo-hoo! I need a running shoe with that one right there. So faith journey starts with his promise, his word, his truth, framing everything about my life. His invisible reality is shaping my visible life. His invisible reality is shaping my visible life. And so now I'm just going to give you four important truths that you and I must have as it relates to understanding faith. And this is just faith 101. And I want to really just take my time and walk through them. And we're going to use the verses that we looked at, Hebrews 11, 1 and 6. You ready? Number one, I must understand that my faith defines who I am in God. My faith defines who I am in God. My faith defines, because everything in the Bible, especially the New Testament, I love this. Everything in the Bible, especially the New Testament, was broken down to someone either being a Jew or a Gentile. But then it takes it further, especially post-resurrection of Jesus Christ, either a believer or an unbeliever. It was that simple. Before we even had the title of Christians, you were known by your faith in God. Are you're one of them who believes in Jesus? Yes, I am. That is how you were known, by your faith, either in God or not in God. You were identified by your faith. And so if I'm going to understand faith, faith 101 is this right here. My faith defines who I am in God. So now the issue of identity, and many of us know a lot of people in this world are going through identity crisis. The issue of identity crisis is a faith issue. The crisis of identity is really a crisis of our faith in God. And I'm going to give you this. It is natural to think our performance in God defines us, but it's spiritual to know we are defined by our confidence in God's performance. Do I need to say that again? Okay. It's natural to think our performance in God defines us, but it's spiritual to know we are defined by our confidence in God's performance. In other words, even though this world uses things like race, sex, and culture to identify someone, you and I have to recognize that our identity does not start with anything that is external. Our identity starts with the eternal. Our identity is from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. When you pray, you don't bring your identity as the world defines you to God. You come to God based upon the identity that He has given you through Jesus Christ. So this is why many people are frustrated. This is why many people are discouraged, because we pray from the standpoint of an identity that God doesn't recognize in the context of being who He's ultimately called us to be. Now, am I denying blackness? No, I'm a black man. I was born black. I am black. I'll die black. I'm not going to bleach my skin. This is just who I am. I went to a black school. I'm married to a black woman. I have black kids. And so, I mean, I understand that concept. I am not anti-black. I'm not anti-white. What I am anti is when you and I allow the world to label us outside the scope of who God has called us to be, which is a person of faith. Now, my skin and my race is what God has given me to express my faith in Him for the accomplishing of His word, His will, and His purpose for me. Now, here's the tension. Somebody else may try to define me mainly by my race. And my choice is, do I allow their definition of me to surpass God's definition of me? And then that becomes the faith test. That becomes the crisis. That becomes the tension. In understanding faith, I must understand that my faith defines who I am in God. And that's very important. That's very significant, that we live from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. If I was at Sunday service, I can see the eyebrows raised. I can see some of y'all right now patting your feet. I can see the questions being raised. If you have any questions, please feel free. You can reach out and you can text God101@gmail.com. I'm just joking. No, I mean, it's a dialogue that's healthy, and it's a dialogue that you and I understand, but it's a dialogue, watch this, that each of us must resolve if we're going to see God's best manifest in every area of our lives. Even Jesus says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He does not say, pray, let heaven reflect earth. He says, pray, that earth looks more like heaven. So that means then that you and I pray from an identity in heaven that needs to be more reflective on earth. And that becomes a faith issue. And that's a faith challenge, because racism is real, because sexism is real. And that makes it all the more harder. And that is why you and I must press into God's faith all the more, to remind ourselves that my identity starts with my faith, not my fears, not who is most familiar with me, not what's most familiar, but my identity starts with my faith in God. My identity doesn't start, but with my response to what and who God has promised and called me to be and do on earth. Number two, I got to understand my faith disciplines what I do for God. I got to understand that my faith disciplines what I do for God. So in Hebrews 11, when the writer uses words like confidence and assurance of God, he's helping us to see that our faith shapes our lives, shapes our expectations, shapes our emotions, shapes our actions. It shapes our lives. Our faith shapes our lives. So now, hear me. So now, my faith and your faith isn't just about beliefs, but it's also about behavior. Our faith isn't just about belief, but it's also about behavior. Because faith keeps me in borders and boundaries. It keeps you in bounds. It keeps you in the lane, on the path, whereby your life and my life reflect trusting God. Because why? Because many people think their lives is to reflect their education, their ability, their resources, their own creativity. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I am saying when you give your life to God, the borders for your life are going to be in this realm, in this zone, in this area where God says, it's not about you. I'm going to have you live in such a way that doesn't reflect who you are, but to live in such a way that people know you trust God. They believe in God. And so my faith disciplines me in what I do. My faith shapes my actions. My faith shapes my behavior. My faith shapes my words, my works. So that even when I find myself in situations and circumstances that seemingly contradict what God has promised, I don't respond based upon simply my feelings. Now I'm behaving from what God has said, and that's faith. Because why? My feelings want me to just end the marriage. My feelings want me to just curse out the boss and just punch him in the mouth and walk off the job. My fears tell me that I need to start doing things illegally. And my failures tell me just withdraw from everybody. But my faith says, stand still and see the goodness of the Lord. My faith says, you will see the goodness of the Lord. My faith says, hope thou in God. My faith starts telling me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So it starts governing and bridling my tongue, my thinking, my emotions. My faith starts disciplining what I do for God, keeping me in the boundaries that allow God to say you're qualified for the breakthrough. Because why? If you get out of bounds and start operating just by feelings and fears and frustration, now, watch this, it's on me to fix it. But as long as I stay in bounds, then I'm good. I thought it was fascinating. This past Friday, I had an opportunity to be with Michael Wigley, Brett Chestnut, Kyle Holloman. Now, they are exceptional golfers. I was just out there. They are exceptional golfers. And yes, I will go on record and say Kyle and Brett, I'm not going to say they beat Michael and I. I'm just going to say, you know, we wanted to make sure they felt good about themselves when they left after the 18 holes were over. But there comes a point on the golf course at certain holes where you can drive the cart onto the fairway. There sometimes it says cart path only. You have to stay on the areas allocated for the cart. And if you get off the path at this golf course, it comes up on the screen of the golf cart, will tell you, like, you know, the cart was shut down. If you do not get back on the cart path, it will shut down. Literally, if you do not get back on the path, you're off the path. And if you stay off the path, the cart would shut down. Listen to me. Many of us become frustrated because we get off the path, we get out of bounds, and then our lives shut down. And the only way you and I can once again have mobility, flexibility, enjoyment is that we got to get in bounds. And I'm saying when faith is not on the right path, when we're not behaving right, when we're not disciplined to the path, to the behavior, to the practices that God has, we end up shutting down. We can't score. We can't win. We don't get victory. We don't get breakthrough. But my faith disciplines me what I do. Because when I do what God has told me to do, that's when my faith is most buoyant, most vibrant, and I see victory. Here's number three. My faith drives why I come to God. My faith drives why I come to God. Why I come to God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I love the King James Version. I know we use NIV, King James. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is, or that he exists. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is and he exists. Now, my faith drives me to God. My faith pushes me to God. My faith propels me to God. Now, when you look at that word existence, it is tied to the very 10 phrases, statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. I am. I am living water. I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the good shepherd. I am the door. All those things, I am living water. All it ties to those statements. I am divine. It ties to the definitiveness, the exactness, the precision of who Jesus is, what he's capable of doing. So when our faith drives us and pushes to God, the word existence isn't stagnant. It is telling us that you and I have this confidence that God is who he says he is. That God is who he says he is. Now, I want you to get this right here. Our faith takes us from the existing of God to the experiencing of God. Our faith takes us from the existing of God to the experiencing of God. And the significance of this is because many people will acknowledge the existence of God, but they don't experience God in such a way that reflect his existence in their lives. I'm going to say it again. So many people will acknowledge the existence of God, but in their lives, they're not experiencing God in such a way that validates his existence. And you and I, with our faith, we're not saying, man, I believe God is real. No, we're saying, I believe God is real at a level and in a measure and in a way where his existence is something I'm experiencing on a daily basis in my finances, in my marriage, in my parenting of my kids, in my relationships, in my friendships, in my dreams, in my desires. Because why? Faith isn't passive. Faith isn't passive, but it is aggressive in its ability and in its influence on making me be mindful that God is the only solution and the real solution to my everyday problems. Faith isn't stagnant. I think that's one of the greatest lies that too many people have bought into in the kingdom of God, that, oh, I believe God, I have faith in God. But their faith does not go from the existence of God to the experiencing of the reality of God. Because when you and I understand faith, we understand that God must be engaged with and experienced with in a manner where he is working out his will in our lives. That's faith. So now my faith keeps driving me to God. How many times have you thought about not praying, but yet your faith keep prompting you? I'm too tired to pray. I'm too mad to pray. I'm too hurt to pray. Or sometimes, you know, everything's been going good. Even when you want to get comfortable, your faith keeps driving you to God to remind you there's greater, there's more, there's something new, there's something next. And then when you get to something new and something next, your faith drives you to the next level and says, there's something new, there's something next. And then it drives you to the next level. There's something new, there's something next. Because your faith keeps pushing you and propelling you. This is why the writer says we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Notice, from faith to faith. He's always driving us, coming to God. He exists. There's something else God is trying to work out in my life. There's something else God is trying to accomplish in my life. There's something else God is trying to bring about in my life. God is so exhaustive that we need eternity to be with him. Have you ever imagined that? He is so exhaustive, we need eternity to be with him. We, just as soon as we think we know God, he has to show us something different about himself. Just as soon as I see Jesus as living water, he said, but you don't know me as the bread of life. And I got him as the bread of life, but you don't know me as the resurrection. Man, I got him as the resurrection, but you don't know me as the door. You don't know me as the way. You don't know me as the life. He just said, God, you know me as redeemer, but you don't know me as your guide. You don't know me as the protector. You don't know me as defender. You don't know me as truth. You don't know me as faithful. You don't know. And then when we think we got it, but you don't know me as good, as being good on this level, as being great on this level. And our faith keeps driving us to God, not just for his existence, but for us to experience his existence in such a way that you and I live our best life possible. So if I'm going to understand faith, then I got to understand, number one, faith defines who I am in God. Faith disciplines what I do for God. Then I got to understand my faith drives why I come to God. Why do I come to God? Because my faith is leading. My faith has told me he's the only one that can help me. He is the only one. And then here's number four. My faith determines how I receive from God. How I receive. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No one asks the bag lady for anything because they don't believe she has it. Likewise, you and I don't go to God without any sense of confidence that God is able to help us. So my faith determines how I receive from God. And this is what that point teaches us, that part of faith, part of understanding faith, is you and I recognizing that faith is an attitude. Faith isn't just actions. Faith is an attitude. It's how we see God. It's how we see life. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It is an attitude. It is an outlook. Get this. We don't receive from God on the level of our ability, but on the level of our ability to believe. We don't receive from God on the level of our ability, but on the level of our ability to believe that God is who God says He is. This ties directly into without expectation then. So the more I grow in God, I'm really growing in my faith. I'm growing in my expectation of God. And this point is so personal for me because for years, I made my approach towards God, my attitude towards God, all about trying harder. Until the revelation hit me some years into my journey, that it's not about trying harder, it's about trusting more. It's not about trying harder, it's about trusting more. So then when that revelation came, the pressure was taken off of my shoulders to make it happen, to trust in God that He will make it happen. So the pressure now is not on me, it's on God to yield the rewards and the results that shows it's not my ability. Because why? If He already got me out here where my ability can't produce, then why am I going to keep struggling, stressing, and striving and straining? Because that ain't going to happen. So now it's like, God, it's on you. Do you know? There was no, let me just be personal. I hope I'm not scaring anyone away with this level of being transparent and authentic with you. There's no way when we were in the pandemic last year was 2020. There was no way you would have told us we wouldn't have had a building by 2021. My confidence, my prayer, my belief was that God, we would have a building. 2020, we were virtual, and we would have a building at least, you know, by January of 2021, and so that we could start the year off, you know, at least either in construction, either, you know, at zoning meetings with, you know, the city getting permits and different stuff. There's no way you would have told us we would be where we are. Now, that's me being totally naked and vulnerable with you. Now, even with churches going back, now you got the churches, people have gotten vaccinated, so you got churches opening up and people are coming back, and it's very easy for me to get into comparison. And do I believe it's time for us to gather and come together again? Of course so. Do I believe that you and I are at the point and past the point where we should be habitually in a safe social distance practicing environment, collectively worshiping together and the kids in Discovery Zone? Of course I do. But do I feel the pressure to just make it happen? Of course I don't. Of course I don't. You want to know why? Because He is the shepherd, we're the sheep of His flock. And our faith in Him determines how we receive. So we can't try, we do our part, but we don't take on the pressure of producing. And that's where many of you are. You're under the pressure, the weight, the yoke, the strain, and you're trying to receive from God on your ability, and all you're bringing to God is your flesh because you're trying to do it on your own. And you have to take the pressure off and say, pressure's not on me, God. I let your faith define who I am. Your faith has been disciplining what I do. Your faith has been driving me. And now my faith in you is still going to determine how I receive from you. So you got to yield the result. So we're looking at this whole building situation. And poor Gus Gordy. I have been, I text him anytime in the night. First thing in the morning throughout the day, I am bouncing questions. I am asking him information, and he is talking to the realtor, and I am just giving him a hard time. And he and David Underwood, who are also working on the building search, and PK, and I am sending emails, texts, smoke signals, Morse codes, telling the dog, take this note, run it over to David's house and over in Mableton, or anything like that. And they're kindly responding back because I'm trying to find out, can we do this? Is this okay? What about the realtor? Have we heard back? Have we heard from the bank? And what about this and other? And it's very easy for me to cross over from, watch this, from doing my part to trying to do God's part. From doing my part to trying to do God. And what's God's part? He make it happen. I just got to make sure I stay in bounds. I'm pastor, not God. I'm teacher. I'm not the truth. I'm a leader. He's the Savior. So it's on him. And so this whole journey that you and I are on now, especially as it relates to the building situation, it's a faith journey. It's like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, having to go through the wilderness. And I know right now, I can just go ahead and say, I know at times. So you're like, well, Pastor Roy, we should have a building by now. Okay. Based upon what? Based upon who? That's my point. Based upon my conclusions, based upon my preferences, based upon me looking at other churches, based upon what I need, based upon what I want. And all of those can be valid. But there's something about our journey that God has decided, I'm going to take you this way. And I'm saying to all of us, let's go. Let's ride. Because it's going to be a holy adventure. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be challenging. But watch this. It's also going to be a time filled with signs, wonders, and miracles. It's going to be a time where we get to see a part of God that we've never seen before. Where we get to see sides of our growth that we would have never seen before, never experienced before, if we don't take this journey of faith. Because God is about to do something. God is positioning us. God is setting us up to do something that our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, our hearts have not conceived. But God is going to reveal it and do it by His Holy Spirit. And He's already doing it because of the countless testimonies that we're getting through emails. I had someone call me and say, Pastor, and it was about the building. One of our members was like, you know, Pastor, I'll call just to let you know in my professional life. And, you know, I'm doing XYZ, working with various peoples in the church. And I'm telling you, and this is their words to me, I am seeing some of the people in DLC get things that defy logic, that do not make sense. They are asking for things, and people are saying yes, when people don't normally do that. It goes against cultural standards. It goes against the professional things. It's not that they're illegal, because you remember, I've always taught you at DLC, we ask God for the ridiculous and for the stupid. And these are members who are doing it in their profession, when they're going for cars, when they're going for homes, when they're applying for promotions. They are asking for the ridiculous and for the stupid. And they are getting it. When people are asking, when someone has been asked, you know, to apply for a promotion, and they want, and the job is saying, hey, we want to promote you, and they're saying, well, I want XYZ. Not only just more money, but schedule. I want the schedule to be more accommodating for my family life. I want the title that reflects XYZ from a portfolio and resume standpoint. And then the company's coming back, okay, we don't normally do this, but okay. What? Yeah. When someone is, okay, I'm going to buy this house, and, you know, wow, you know, that looks nice. That, would y'all consider, you know, me purchasing? Oh, no, you ain't got to purchase that. We'll just leave that here, and you can have it free of no charge. For real? Yeah. Oh, this interest rate is this level based upon your credit score. But we're just going to drop it down to XYZ. Are you for it? I'm telling you, our faith, it's not a waste of time. Our faith is going to produce everything God has promised in our individual lives and in our corporate lives. So hear me go. Let me give you a big so what. My faith brings God's best to me because my faith is the best thing I bring to God. My faith brings God's best to me because my faith is the best thing I bring to God. So this is where we are for the next couple of months. We're going to be unpacking, unlocking this issue of faith. And I'm asking every DLC member to stay on this journey with me. I'm asking you to meet us. We're going to try to get in some corporate gatherings like we did at Thrasher Park, maybe a different location. More information will be forthcoming. But I'm asking you to get on this journey with me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I'm asking you to also look in your sphere of life. Any person you know that has been challenged in their faith in God, they are stuck, they are discouraged, they are frustrated. I'm asking you right now to go ahead and make a list, let's say, of like 10 people, everybody you know, people local, and invite them to tune in. Those in other states, invite your cousins, your aunties, your uncles, your haters, whoever it may be. Say, we're on the faith journey, and I want you to come with us. Because during this time, for many of us, God is going to refocus our faith. He's going to refine our faith. He's going to redirect our faith. He's going to stretch our faith. He's going to try our faith. But most of all, hear me, He's going to honor our faith. How did God honor our faith? By giving us that which is exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to His power that is at work within us. That's Understanding Faith 101. All right, here's your home take-home challenge. Read Hebrews 11 in three different translations. I want you to memorize Hebrews 11, verse 6. Pray these points over your life. And then, of course, share this message at the end of service. Share this message at the end of service. Now, if you're listening to me and you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, your first Faith 101 step and test is to give up control of thinking that you can qualify yourself for God's best. It is to believe that by faith, I believe God sent His only Son, Jesus, born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died on a cross for me, and who was physically raised at the grave. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, and He's going to come and take all of those who have faith in His work on Calvary's cross and be with Him for eternity. That the only way you and I qualify for God's best is by making Jesus Lord over our lives. Doesn't mean we don't have anything to do. It means we start with faith, walk in faith, live by faith. The faith that God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing I can do to deserve His love or earn His love. I simply receive His love. And I want to remind you, our faith is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not an act. It is also a lifestyle. It is the style by which we live. Confidence in and the assurance of God that He keeps His word. He keeps His promise. That's the way we live. All right, I love you to life. Let me just close in prayer. Father, thank you for this great people. Bless our time. Bless us. And I pray according to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I think it's like verses 12 and 13. That you would give us the spirit of faith. We already have. You actually say we have the spirit of faith. Since we have the spirit of faith, I'm asking that you would intensify it. That you would amplify it. And that you would unify us around it. In our speech. In our thinking. In our believing. In our behaving. You synchronize our faith. Thank you for what you're going to do. You have promised this body of believers called Discover Life Church. I didn't ask Pastor Eric Butler to say that. I simply received it on behalf of your people. Now, out of the mouth of your servant, according to Isaiah, you're the God who brings to pass with your messengers what your messengers decree and declare. I thank you for the bringing to pass, the manifestation of that word. The building will come to us sooner than we think. It is phase one. It will happen through unusual miracles. But you're asking us to keep walking forward by faith. And that is what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm asking everyone, as a sign of agreement to walking by faith, this journey by faith, I just want you to type in the comment line right now, amen. That means so be it. I'm in agreement. So just type in amen, amen, amen. All right, have a great day. Don't forget, you got to share this message. Just as soon as it ends, you got to share it. Share this message. And next week, we're going to start again with just understanding faith. We're going to take it deeper, and we're going to unpack it. And we're going to take that, and I'm going to take my time by the grace of God. All right, love you guys to life. Bye-bye. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.